You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Need a physician? Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Local weather here at HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Weather today, isolated showers, about 20% today. Otherwise cloudy with a high near 64. Tonight, a slight chance of rain or drizzle, mainly after midnight. Tuesday, patchy fog in the morning, otherwise partly sunny, high near 79. Tuesday night, patchy fog after 5 a.m., otherwise mostly cloudy with a low around 62. Wednesday, chance of showers, about 30% chance. Foggy in the morning. Otherwise, the highs could creep up toward 80. Chance of showers Wednesday night. Thunderstorm possible after 2 in the morning. Lows in the 60s. Showers likely Thursday. Possibly a thunderstorm. Otherwise, mostly cloudy, high near 71. Thursday night, chance of showers. Low in the mid-50s. And again, Friday, chance of showers 54 outside our studios right now. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table.
The weather is brought to you by Berdard, Kurowicki & Company. In today's fast-paced, deadline-driven business climate, Berdard, Kurowicki & Company is known as the certified public accounting firm that takes the time to understand its clients. We believe that having a deep knowledge of our clients and their business is the foundation for providing value-added, proactive accounting, tax, and business services. Call us at 908-782-7900 or visit our website at www.bkc-cpa.com.
Hi, welcome to the table. Chef Bill here. Your host, Bill Kinslow, Chef Jake's Restaurant here in Flemington. We get together every week to talk about mainly food, but other things coming up. Looking down the road, of course, is a kind of a long time between food holidays, as I call them. Thanksgiving coming up. Actually, just a few more weeks. Fall is slipping by here. Weather has turned very fall-like, at least in the Northeast. Getting nice and cool at night. That frost to sweeten up the apples. Start to look to some cool weather cooking. We're winding down Oktoberfest at the restaurant, maybe another week or so. It's been a good, about a month long. You know, we start September when the festival really starts, so we'll be winding up the German food and then looking forward to some nice comfort food. Probably short ribs, cassoulet, all those neat big pot meals, we call them. Stuff with gravy, stuff with hearty flavors. So our journey through the alphabet, getting down toward the end here. We're up to W, vegetables A to Z. Not sure what's going to happen next week with X, unless I finagle something there. But definitely, you know, Y and Z are be good strong finishes here for us, popular vegetables. So today, I thought of a couple of things. And sometimes the names for things, of course, you could say winter squash, but we've done a lot of squashes out there. We've done so. But water chestnuts come to mind. And wasabi, actually, which isn't just the powder that we usually use or the paste, but actually is a root grown in water. And then watercress. And I don't know, coincidentally, I guess these three things all grow in either marshes, lots of water. The wasabi grows in running water. That's a tough one because most of what we use as wasabi is really mustard powder with a little bit of dried horseradish and some green and yellow food coloring in it. Tastes good, don't get me wrong, but the real thing's very expensive. And it's grated, used, you know, for sushi, other primarily Japanese, but could be other Oriental food too. Nice little seasoning. Good and spicy, although the spice does disappear pretty quickly, not like chilies that kind of hang with you for a while. So this is why we like it. Growing now in the Northwest. Hopefully it should be more available in this country, and maybe the price will come down a little bit as we start to produce some. So look down the road for that. But in the meantime, water chestnuts, watercress, and all these, again, kind of related, not just by the method they're grown, but even in cooking and cuisines, things can be used together very successfully. And later on in the show, of course, actually it kind of worked out. We'll talk about how to use a wok. W utensil, maybe that would be another series. Kitchen utensils, A to Z. Nice little springboard on the show just to start off a topic. Usually that gets me going, do a little research and expand on it. So the wasabi, again, normally if you could find it fresh, grated, very special kind of board that the Japanese would use just to kind of, it's not really a smooth paste. I say if you can find it, treasure it, use it sparingly. You don't need that much of it. Now, the water chestnuts, again, tough to find. They need to grow in a tropical climate. Needs like 7 months of grow time, good warm weather. So you don't often see them fresh. Probably a close substitute, not really for the flavor, but the jicama oftentimes is used, something that stays crunchy. Neat thing about water chestnuts is you can use them canned, and you'll always find them canned, either sliced or whole, and they retain their crunch even after the canning process. So this is kind of why we like them in stir fries. And there was the old appetizer, I think, bacon wrapped water chestnuts. And you use the whole ones for that, wrap them in bacon, then braise them in a nice little sweet, spicy sauce, crisp up the bacon. We've used the slices as part of hors d'oeuvres. That was years ago, but they're still good. And again, if you like that crunch, mild, sweet flavor, goes well. Seems to go well with bacon anyway. Using them in a salad, of course, very easy to do. It's one of those pantry staples, and we'll talk about that later. Wok cooking, and especially if you choose to go the Eastern route, whether, you know, Chinese or any of the Southeast Asian countries or Asian countries, the wok is and the seasonings used are very easy to keep. Oils, pastes, things like that. Water chestnuts could be a staple on the pantry shelf. So when we're using them, used to use them years ago. They're good with a vegetable like green beans, snow peas, or sugar snap peas, whether they're in a stir fry or just as a side dish, because they have the color contrast, the slices. If you do get them fresh, you just peel them. You can eat them raw or eat them cooked. But a simple stir fry with string beans, sugar snap peas are nice because they're very crunchy. But even in a salad, the raw snow peas or raw sugar snaps go nicely with sliced water chestnuts. And also watercress would go with these too, that nice peppery flavor. You could actually use all three together, whether in a stir fry or in a salad, and have a nice combination of textures and flavors with the water chestnuts. You don't want to call nobody else. Send it off. Make a nice little salad for two with the watercress and the water chestnuts. Just a half bunch of watercress, and you take off the tough stems. You can, the thin stems are edible, but you want to get the leaves and just the thin stems. A couple of ounces of fresh water chestnuts or jicama, or if you use a little canned water chestnut, and julienne those. A little bit of radishes. Now, it doesn't, of course, have to be wasabi radish, but just the little red radishes are good, grated or thinly sliced. So you have these peppery watercress, the radishes, and the texture of the chestnuts. Really nice, crunchy, interesting salad, especially if you don't happen to have some lettuce, or if you just want a small salad for a couple of people. A little bit of oil and lemon juice, sesame oil to season, and some toasted sesame seeds, and you've got a nice, simple little salad. So, going on, watercress is probably a little more familiar, has a little bit more uses. Of course, used to see them in, I guess, people always say, well, you put those in tea sandwiches. I remember we used to even garnish a steak with it, just that instead of the old, you know, sprig of parsley that restaurants used to use, the watercress is great because the peppery flavor actually goes with the steak. And if it wilts on the hot plate, oh, so much the better, mixing up with the juices there. But normally, you know, in a tea sandwich, let's say, you know, you have your unsalted butter, sweet butter, thin sliced cucumber, some watercress. Very simple. Still places that serve tea, I'm sure you can find these little things. Bread was always crusted, and we used to actually like to get what we called a Pullman loaf. It was an unsliced loaf of bread, but it was still square like sandwich bread, and then you could slice it to the thickness you want instead of the standard that you'd get, you know, just in a regular bagged bread, and trim the crusts off and have something just delicate and tasty, just a couple of bites just to go, kind of an afternoon snack. We got a break for a couple of messages here, and then we'll talk a little bit more about watercress and then get into using our wok. Chef Bill's Table.
I'm Dave Lang with Insight Financial Services and a proud member of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. I believe that our participation in all of the opportunities that the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce offers to its members strongly contributes to our success.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
What can you do as a member of Rotary? You can eradicate polio. You can promote peace. You can feed the hungry. You can help children do better in school. Because Rotary believes that by working together, you can do anything. This is District Governor Megan Jones Holt. Learn more about Rotary and join me every Monday at 11 a.m. on the Rotary Hour, the show that is dedicated to answering the ultimate question of what Rotary is. Find us on the web at rotarynj.org. Rotary, humanity in motion.
Are you tired of the limitations of your small office shredder? Do you need to be compliant with federal regulations regarding the disposal of sensitive information? Are you concerned about identity theft? If so, then call Assure Shred. Assure Shred will provide your company customized on-site document destruction service that fulfills regulatory requirements and at the same time protects your organization from the consequences of the improper disposal of sensitive information. To obtain a free quote or to schedule an appointment, call Assure Shred at 877-466-1566 today. That's 877-466-1566.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Hey, back at the table here, Chef Bill. So, watercress. Member of the mustard family. Probably include it and use it as you would any kind of these, the greens, say, is arugula, dandelion, some of those other nice peppery or bitter greens. So, it takes well with, of course, bacon or ham or prosciutto, if you're using whether hot or cold. A little bit of the smoked pork product is always nice. Pairs well with cheeses, with eggs. You could use a bed of watercress for some poached eggs if you like, but often we'll do it as even part of a quiche or scrambled eggs or an omelet, a little goat cheese or a little brie. I saw a little idea for even a calzone made with brie and ham and watercress, something a little bit different than just the standard peppers and mushrooms and Italian meats. Anything, a little pocket in pizza dough tastes good anyway. But if you want to try something different, you know, say instead of spinach. Spinach is nice, but the watercress has a little bit more flavor. It does take well to a hot dressing. Of course, when it's a little bit wilted, tastes very good. Or even as a side dish, sautéed, depending on your cuisine. You could do it in olive oil, or if you're doing more of a Asian-type dish, you could use the sesame oil. It would actually work well on the grill. I know grilling season's pretty much over, but if you think of it next spring when the watercress starts coming in, grilling it also is nice. If you have it wilted or sautéed, it's also a nice bed to present grilled vegetables on. So say you're roasting or grilling vegetables and you want a little greens in there, the watercress holds up nicely, not only texture-wise, but flavor-wise. It adds to the mix there. Now we've used it as a puree, just like you would any other greens, cook them and then in the processor. And whether you use a little water or broth or dairy product, milk or cream, it would make a nice quick sauce. Adding it to pasta dishes, they say instead of spinach or other things, the watercress has a little bit more texture and flavor. A soup, we think of, again, a cream soup, but usually would be with potatoes. Start with some onions, have your sliced potatoes. Watercress would go in toward the end, so it stays nice and green. You still want it to cook. I would use the leaves, not too much of the stem. You get that flavor and that nice green color. And then for fish, a green sauce. And a lot of times you think of that as just some herbs with olive oil, a little bit of vinegar, salt and pepper, a little chopped egg, and mince up the watercress or puree it, and you've got a different kind of salsa verde. Some people throw maybe some capers or even a little bit of chopped pickle in there. If you vary the flavor a little bit. But watercress, very versatile. And you buy it in, you know, just a couple of bunches. It'll hold a few days in the refrigerator. You don't want anything that looks too yellow. And, again, the tougher, thicker stems, you want to trim those off. Just use the tender parts. So back to our utensil this week, or cooking tool, the wok. I was always been impressed with what you can do. You start studying, all right, let's just focus, let's say Chinese cooking, for instance. You know, I don't want to lump every Southeast Asian country under one cuisine, but something simple. I was always impressed with the fact that if you ever use the Chinese cleaver for chopping, we used to do it especially for tedious tasks like chopping parsley in a big hotel or restaurant. You need maybe a lot of, say, a chopped fresh herb, let's say. And what we do is with the Chinese cleaver, they're not the heavy bone-splitting cleavers. They're a knife. You've got a good straight cutting surface. And you use the weight of the knife instead of forcing the knife down to chop. Actually, the weight of the knife helps. All you're doing is picking it up and kind of letting it drop. Get skilled with that. I always wanted to master that. Mincing meats or poultry, the flat side of it's good for smashing garlic or ginger. But there's just a few amount of implements that are needed to do Chinese cooking. The wok. You can use it for a multitude of things. It's the only thing, it's not really a terrific oven, but you still can do some hot smoking in it. You want to do smoked foods. It's a very good way to do that, either inside or out. And, you need the proper tools. You need a high burner when you're using a wok. And most stoves now have that one for bringing a big pot of water to a boil. It just has a few more thousand BTUs an hour, so you can get that high heat. I've tried electric woks, and they really don't get hot enough. I mean, they're kind of convenient. Wouldn't really call it stir frying. You know, it's more of a different shaped electric frying pan. But it seems the best materials are the traditional iron or steel. And they'll come with a ring. When you have a gas stove, you want it, because the bottom's round, of course, it's not going to sit on the burner too well. But the idea is that heat concentrates in the bottom, and then, of course, you have the cooler zone up the side of the wok. So when you're stir-frying, you keep the food in motion, so it's constantly just in and out of that high heat. And it's really different than sautéing. It kind of glazes the food. If you do that, difficult for... Of course, sauté cooks, we're used to shaking the pan and tossing things in the pan. And when you pick up the pan, of course, it's off the heat. Trick with the wok is to hold on to it with one hand, and with the other hand, with the spatula, I call it the shovel, that you would buy along with the wok, the metal implement there. Just keep the food moving around. Now, you can get woks that have a longer handle, not too long because it'll be off balance, but more of a traditional pot or pan handle. Those are handy. You'll have that handle on one side, and the other side the bar that you grab there. But either way, easy to store. You keep them well seasoned. I would keep mine just like a cast iron pan. If you, after you've washed it out, you know, you rub it with a little bit of oil and maybe put a paper towel in it to absorb any moisture. You want to keep those in a warm environment and in a gas oven with the pilot light on. Again, now so much stuff doesn't have pilots burning all the time, but it's just that nice area, you know, away from too much moisture. You want to keep it kind of dry. So you have, you know, a knife that you can do everything with, an implement that you could cook in many different ways. You could use it, obviously, for the stir fry. You can also deep fry in a wok. You can steam with it. You can do hot smoking with it. You can braise. Almost anything, as I say, you know, roasting, you know, I suppose, you know, in the way of like hot smoking there, you've got it over some heat. You have the cover tightly on there. You could probably do small pieces, especially fish. You could probably do it very easily inside. It creates like its own little oven there. So the art of stir frying. So when we come back after the break, we've got to get the ingredients ready that we need and go through the method. It's really a nice quick way to cook. Probably takes you longer to prep the vegetables and the protein than it would to cook it. But it's great for quick meals, great for using little bits and pieces of things that you have left. Got great texture. You preserve the nutrients because you're not really overcooking anything. Usually the colors are very vivid. And resist the temptation to put too much sauce. You want minimal sauce. You just want things coated. You don't want this cornstarchy, slurry, sweet sauce just all over everything. And resist the urge to use too much soy sauce. You use some in the stir fry, but as a table condiment, yes, does add some salt to things, but you can use it sparingly. You don't want everything to just taste of soy sauce. So after the break, we'll figure out what we need in the pantry and then, you know, some ideas for using your wok to cook a variety of dishes, a variety of methods. Chef Bill's Table.
This is USA Radio News. I'm Bob Kellogg. Federal officials have confirmed that a healthcare worker who provided hospital care for an Ebola patient in Dallas has tested positive for the virus. Texas officials earlier yesterday said preliminary tests showed the worker had been exposed to Ebola. They received confirmation from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention yesterday afternoon. Officials are investigating to see how she could have ended up with the disease herself. They say the unidentified worker was in full protective gear when she provided care to Thomas Eric Duncan during his treatment at Texas Health Presbyterian Hospital. CDC Director Dr. Tom Frieden says other Ebola cases may show up among healthcare workers who helped care for Duncan.
This is because the healthcare workers who cared for this individual may have had a breach of the same nature of the individual who appears now to have a preliminary positive test.
This is the first known case of the disease being contracted or transmitted in the U.S. I'm Bob Kellogg.
All across the U.S., people are hearing this. And once people hear it, they break into a dance and head to Staples. Here's a mom and daughter. Why are you guys dancing?
I just got like 110% price match guarantee on all the things I buy the most. So cool. I got a muffler that ish. My friends will be so jelly. Hashtag really cool.
Let me translate. She got 110% price match guarantee on all the things she buys the most. She must tell her friends on social media.
Staples. This back to school, make more happen for less. Find a lower price on a new identical item. Show us the lower price at checkout and we'll match it and discount it by 10% of the difference. N97, see store or staples.com for details.
Local weather here at 100andchamberradio.com. Today, Columbus Day. Isolated showers. otherwise cloudy with a high in the mid-60s. Tonight, slight chance of rain or drizzle, mainly after midnight, low in the 50s. Patchy fog on Tuesday before 10 in the morning, otherwise partly sunny, high near 79. Tuesday, patchy fog after 5 a.m., otherwise mostly cloudy, low around 62. Chance of showers on Wednesday, telling us 60% likely. Otherwise cloudy, high towards 80. Wednesday night, low around 60. Likely to have some showers Wednesday night. Thursday, showers likely, possibly a thunderstorm, high towards 70. Low in the mid-50s Thursday night. Again, Friday, a little slight chance of showers. Looks like the weekend from this point, at least around here, is going to be pretty clear. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table. Back at the table here, I'm talking about wok cooking and a couple of the vegetables you mentioned today would kind of go hand in hand with that. The watercress would be a nice addition to your vegetable assortment when you're stir frying, and of course the water chestnuts, we keep those in there for crunch. Along then you have your bamboo shoots and things. A nice thing about stir frying, at least if you do, let's say, traditional Chinese, is you can keep ingredients on hand. I guess, probably the same thing with maybe a Italian or Mediterranean thing. There's always some ingredients that you can keep on hand, so you can whip together a meal without having to, oh, I got to run to the store for this, run to that. Things that hold up well. Very intense flavors. You need small amounts of them. And I guess this is the secret. Instead of dumping a whole lot of something, the oils, you keep sesame oil or a chili oil. And these things aren't really used for cooking. They're what you call finishing oils or seasoning oils. A little bit of drizzle at the end. I know when we do our stir fry at Jake's, we drizzle the sesame oil in after. We'll do our basic stir-fry in canola oil, although peanut oil probably is preferred by a lot of people. If you can have the peanut oil, you got the high smoke point and, of course, the flavor. But canola is fine. But we'll put the sesame oil in at the end for flavor. You don't want to use a lot of it. Stir-fry with sesame oil, you're using too much. But the ingredients, a lot of pastes, chili paste, you've got hoisin, plum sauce, if you want to use something like that for a little sugar. Of course, your soy sauce, and you could get several types. If you want the really pure wheat-free, you've got to usually get the tamari, the Japanese soy sauce. Most of them do have some wheat in there fermenting. And I actually, for me, a great substitute for soy sauce would be Worcestershire sauce. That does not have wheat in it. And it's got still that, the dark color. That's more based on actually the fish sauce. It is an anchovy extract, after all. And that was probably made before soy sauce was. It used to ferment the fish. Again, preserve the harvest. And then they started doing it with soybeans, fermented product. You get great flavors out of it, the umami that everybody talks about. And, of course, you'll keep garlic cloves, room temperature, no worry about that. Ginger holds up well, whether in the cooler or the freezer. Chilies, either dried or even in a can, but usually some dried or chilies, you can keep those, you have to rehydrate them, or the softer ones, just you keep those in the freezer or the refrigerator also. And then for the onion, I always have scallions. I like scallions. You can cut them long or short. Very mild flavor. Cook up very quickly. You don't have to, you know, it's not as difficult as chopping an onion, and you really don't have to cook them as long. So you get that nice color from the green parts. Always use the green parts, and then the nice mild onion flavor. And stir frying, you know, it doesn't mean, it doesn't have to be Chinese cooking or Thai cooking. I mean, once you get the technique down, I've done a nice, say, pasta primavera for people. You know, they'll have the, you know, similar vegetables, but I don't want them done with the ginger and soy sauce and, you know, rice wine or sherry. I want the more an Italian flavor. Very simple to do, and I still will start with canola oil, do the stir fry, and would have garlic in there and scallion, or even shallots. Shallots always work well, a nice minced shallot. And I would finish with a good olive oil instead of the sesame oil. So you get that flavor at the end, you know, your herbs. You can still do a nice stir fry. You don't need a lot of sauce. You can use a little broth if you like, but, you know, truthfully, you don't want, you know, you don't want your, you want, if you have a pasta, especially your rice, you just want it to coat. You don't want too big a pool of sauce. We don't thicken the sauce at the restaurant. Most places it's overdone, a little too thick. And I always wondered, you know, should we be using a cornstarch to thicken the sauce? But really over fresh pasta, it's going to absorb a lot of it anyway. We just try not to have too much of the broth in there, although there is some. But usually after, by the time it sits, even the cooked rice, you know, it kind of absorbs. But we don't have that thick sauce that sits on top. And it could be possibly. I mean, we don't profess to be, you know, a specialist in that. But it does satisfy. Some people, they like that flavor. Especially for a vegetable dish, it works out well for us. So then when you're cooking with the wok, of course, is make sure it's seasoned. You have your products already prepared. The mise en place is probably the most difficult part. So you want your product to be uniform size, especially your protein. And usually thin slices or small bits are what we're looking for. We want quick cooking here, although you can braise in a wok. That's another technique. But you want things in small pieces. And you don't want to do more than maybe a pound of product at a time. And what happens then is the pan cools off too much and you end up kind of boiling the stuff. If you're cooking, let's say for four people. So you know, your wok's not going to hold food for four people. And your burner in the use of the average home kitchen won't be hot enough anyway. You don't have the hundreds of thousands of BTUs that the professional kitchens have. So you do them bits at a time. So I would do the protein first, season it a little bit. You don't have to put the sauce in yet, but get the protein stir-fried, set it off to the side, heat the wok again, some oil, do the vegetables, and when the vegetables are cooked, then you add your protein back and your sauce ingredients, and it's usually a simple bring it to a simmer, and that's it. You're done. You don't have to cook it any further than that. So you get your proteins nice and brown, and then your vegetables stir-fried separately, and then combine, and then you can have enough for, say, an average four people. Otherwise, if you're cooking for one or two, real simple. You can always do just one or two portions at a time. Again, you want high heat. You have the ring for the gas stoves. If you have an electric stove, what I've seen is, of course, you can get a flat bottom wok. So you pick up that contact from your electric stove or your radiant stove. The ring's not, you're just going to get, you know, it's not an efficient heat transfer to use the round bottom or even the ring with electric stove. So you can get a pan that would work with a flat bottom on it. But remember, line up the mise en place, undercook everything. You will get some carryover cooking, a little bit of steaming going on. Nice thing is you can do it right at the last minute.
Drive west on Sunset to the sea.
So using a wok as a steamer, and you can steam over just water, or you could use a broth or some wine if you want to infuse a little flavor in the product. Oftentimes we think of course, the dim sum pot stickers, and not pot stickers, the shomai's, little dumplings, or even the steamed Chinese buns. Usually get a bamboo steamer that fits the wok, or you could put it on a rack in the wok. And if you're doing, let's say, fish, you could do it even on a plate. What I've found that using a wok is get a cake rack, a round cake rack that kind of fits halfway up. You can do a lot with that. We use that when we do the hot smoking also. Traditionally, you'd use maybe a nap of cabbage, or you could use an outside lettuce leaf to put the product on. But steaming over a broth is going to do a couple of things. You've got the broth kind of flavoring, put the aroma in the product you're steaming, and also if you're cooking fish, that little bit of juice comes off the product and makes the broth even more tasty. Probably could serve that as a soup or something alongside the dish. And again, seasoning, foods to be steamed, small amounts, intense flavor, standard, comes to mind the fermented black beans, which is what your black bean sauce is made from. But these things are little flavor bombs there. They look like little raisins there. You crush those. You don't need that many of them, but really puts a flavor punch if you want to have some of those to steam with your fish or even poultry. But used as a steamer, you need, of course, the lid. And lid should fit fairly tightly. One thing you can do if you want is some damp paper towel lined around the where the lid meets the wok. That'll kind of help seal things in. But steaming, we often find, even before frying, sometimes the chefs will steam the food first to get it partially cooked. But certainly for your small snacks, anything that you want to steam in there, in the basket, the wok does a great job. You don't need that much liquid. You want mostly steam. And with the rack, it just, you can get a lot more done than just trying to steam it in a small pot. And do it a lot quicker, too. Deep frying with the wok. Of course, we like our cast iron or our shallow pans. But really, you can do very well with the wok. It's got the high sides. It heats up quickly. Deep frying, when you're doing it this way, and one of the secrets to getting the food really crispy that the Chinese cooks will do is fry it several times. Just like we do French fries, you do the blanching and then the crisping up at the end. With deep-fried food, they'll do a few pieces at a time, just lightly fry, just so the coating sets. Set them aside, and then when they cool off a little bit, go back and drop them back in the oil. And if you're doing it at the right temperature, you're not going to get a lot of oil absorption, but you just make this nice, crispy exterior. I always wondered how the fried food would hold up even with sauces, even with a soy dipping sauce. The amazing talent just to get that crispness on things without the coating being too heavy. We got a break for a couple of messages, and we'll talk about using the wok as a smoker. Chef Bill's Table.
Rob
Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
This is Megan Jones Holt, the radio host of the Rotary Hour and president of Boxes for You. Why am I a member of the Chamber of Commerce? It can be summed up in one word: opportunities. Opportunities to market your business and yourself.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Hi, this is Joe Peters at Weikert Realtors. If you are considering buying or selling a house this year, you have probably already gathered a lot of information. In a way, that is a little like taking a drink of water out of a fire hose, in that you're no longer thirsty, and at the same time are a little overwhelmed by all of the information that you have found. This is where I can be of help. As a local real estate market specialist, I can help you by understanding your objectives, showing you how to assemble that information that you've already found, supplementing it with highly accurate and timely data that I have access to, and assisting you in developing a strategy to turn your objectives into reality. Let's start by spending a few minutes over the telephone. Please give me a call at 908-238-0118 to get that process started. If you are considering buying or selling a house this year, we should be talking now. Once again, this is Joe Peters at Weikert Realtors at 908-238-0118. And you could also visit my site at my first initial J, my last name, Peters.com.
You're listening to HunterdonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Back at the table here, Chef Bill. So we're going to transform our wok into a stovetop smoker. Now you can buy stovetop smokers now, but, you know, we can use something we already have in the house. I think most people like to have a wok on hand anyway. But you can use a wok for so many more things. Braising, as I said, we call it, I guess the term would be red cooked. Searing and then braising with the lid fitting on there. You can absolutely do that in a wok over the low heat. Simmering for soups. I always think of a big stock pot, but really if you want to saute vegetables first, kind of set the color, give some different flavor to it, wok would be easily used for making soups, especially the clear soups. You're not going to sit there and do thicken up a cream soup in a wok, but your brothy type soups really would benefit from that initial frying of the ingredients, the usually vegetable, and then at a quick simmer. And you know, probably the hardest thing is getting it out. It's, you know, the wok is hard to pour out of. You'd probably ladle it out. That's one of the tools. The ladle's it's kind of a ladle with the handle straightened out on it instead of perpendicular to the bowl. It looks like a big spoon. But those are always handy for, we still use some in the restaurant for transferring sauces from one container to another. Instead of pouring, sometimes it's better to use the big scoop there. So as a smoker, first what we're doing, and I've done a couple of things. I've done slices of tenderloin, good lean beef, something that cooks quickly, or even the they call them chicken steaks, that flat irons. Those are nice and tender. That or the fillet, nice tender cuts that would benefit from hot smoking, because you know you don't really want to cook it too much. You want to still keep them pretty rare. Shrimp was probably the most successful, although I have done chicken. The shrimp's easy because what you do is, before you're smoking the shrimp, you have a mixture of salt and sugar, kosher salt and some granulated sugar. Half and half is fine. And you'll liberally sprinkle that on your shrimp. You want to kind of coat the shrimp and let it sit for about maybe 20 minutes or so. That's all you need. And then you wash off the salt sugar. What that is a quick cure. Like I say, 20 minutes to half an hour. What this does is on the shrimp, it's called the pellicle, the kind of browning that happens when you're smoking the food. What you're doing is, with that cure, you're kind of drying out. You're taking some moisture out of the shrimp. You're kind of drying the outside there so it gets that nice color when you apply the heat. So we have our quick-cured shrimp. The beef, I didn't really do anything with. Season it just before it goes in. So we have our wok. And you're going to start heating the wok. And what you're going to have is some small wood chips. And they could be, you know, probably almost like sawdust, really, really small. You don't need them. You'll soak them in a little water first, get them damp. And then what you want to do is in the bottom of the wok is put a piece of aluminum foil. You don't want to put the wood chips right on the wok itself. You don't want anything, you know, messing up the surface there. So you have aluminum foil, put the wood chips, and even if you're doing a tea smoke, sometimes you'll use some tea and some brown sugar and some rice. Same thing, put it on the foil, and that adds kind of a unique flavor to poultry, tea smoked. So you have the wok on. You have some paper towels dampened, not soaking wet, just a little bit so they kind of collapse there. You have a lid for the wok, and you need a cake rack that fits about halfway up in the wok. Cake racks, cooling racks, something circular. So you'll get the wok, turn on the heat, and when the smoke just starts to appear, you'll be ready. Have the shrimp or the meat on the cake rack and put that in there, and then right away you're going to try to get the lid on there. So what you need to do is make, with the paper towel, if you should do is have about maybe four or five of them in one piece, dampened enough to make the circle around just underneath the lid. So you have the paper towel tucked around the lid to kind of seal in the smoke. And the smoke flavoring really gets intense, so the shrimp only take a few minutes to cook anyway. When you're doing the beef, sometimes you don't need that much wood chip. I mean, you really, that closed environment there, that small space, really just gives you a great intense smoky flavor. So you'll check, you know, the shrimp only takes a few minutes. The beef, you might, you know, lift the lid. Resist the urge to do that too much. You want to keep the smoke in there. You probably go, you know, 7 or 8 minutes on the beef and then check it. And you're done. Now, you need good ventilation, of course, for this. Kitchen fan, if it's vented to the outside. If not, you may want to try this over your grill outside. It'll still be hot enough, and some people have a burner out there, but doesn't put off a whole lot of smoke, especially if you don't use that many wood chips, and you're keeping it kind of contained in the pan. So, but it is a way to do it inside very easily, very quickly. And of course, the smoked shrimp favorite of that is a nice black bean and corn salad. That's all you need. And the beef, you know, an appetizer, obviously be great. Let come to room temperature, or even chill it and serve it sliced with some cheeses. So you're getting something that's smoked but not really cured. Very, very tender. They say tenderloin or flat iron are great for that. Nice lean pieces. And you can slice them thinly and really retains that good flavor. So we're going to wind down here. Next week, I don't know, X. I don't know if I'll find anything for X. We may just jump into Y for the vegetable journey. Remember Jake's Sunday buck a shuck. A lot of oysters flew out of there yesterday. Trying to introduce a few new things for the fall. We've got mussels on Thursday night. We've got king crab legs on Wednesday night. Tuesday night meatballs, any way you want them. Several sauces, several bases for it, or have it in a sandwich. Just some, just trying to have fun this fall. Just a couple of different things. If it piques your interest during the week, stop by. Chef Bill signing off. Talk to you next week.
This is USA Radio News. I'm Bob Kellogg. Federal officials have confirmed that a healthcare worker who provided hospital care for an Ebola patient in Dallas has tested positive for the virus.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical
Center. Texas officials earlier yesterday said preliminary tests showed.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
This is USA Radio News. I'm Bob Kellogg. Federal officials have confirmed that a healthcare worker who provided hospital care for an Ebola patient in Dallas has tested positive for the virus. Texas officials earlier yesterday said preliminary tests showed the worker had been exposed to Ebola. They received confirmation from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention yesterday afternoon. Officials are investigating to see how she could have ended up with the disease herself. They say the unidentified worker was in full protective gear when she provided care to Thomas Eric Duncan during his treatment at Texas Health Presbyterian Hospital. CDC Director Dr. Tom Frieden says other Ebola cases may show up among healthcare workers who helped care for Duncan.
This is because the healthcare workers who cared for this individual may have had a breach of the same nature of the individual who appears now to have a preliminary positive test.
This is the first known case of the disease being contracted or transmitted in the